If you interact with a lot of our parents today, you'll quickly be able to tell that children can at times be a joy, but other times they can be a pain. Just saying. And if you take a moment and think about the joys that children bring in our families, in our lives, you would just sit, relax, and enjoy seeing them do things, see them grow up, see them discover a lot. One of the things that is fascinating, especially for the children that go to school, is very joy-filling to the parents to see the children come back to school, come back from school, and they tell you all these kinds of stories. What happened during their class sessions, what they learned, you know, how they participated in class. And it's wonderful. It's very fulfilling to see them grow in their knowledge of things. And sometimes some of the children will, you know, try to quiz the parents as they learn stuff. For example, they'll sit you down and say, "Mom, what is that bird that wears wigs?" They'll expect an answer from you. What will you say? They expect you to say, "Ah, it's a bald eagle." Or they'll run to daddy and say, "Hey, daddy, what is that? What is that fly that has no wings?" Again, they expect a correct answer from daddy. What will daddy say? Some daddies will say, "Oh, it's Superman, a fly without wings." Well, maybe the kids expect this answer. When a human being is walking, then they're moving from point A to point B, but without wings. Or the child would run to the grandmother and say, "Nana, what do you call that which has four wheels but flies?" Well, they expect you to say, "Oh, it's a garbage truck." It can be fascinating to see our young people learn a lot of stuff. The more interesting is when you're trying to teach them one thing and they pick up another. For example, I have this story that I like to tell of a father and a child. One time they decided to do an experiment. And this father particularly wanted to teach this child the dangers, the bad effects of alcohol. And so they went out in the field and picked out two worms, those little things, and brought back home and had two glasses. One glass was filled with water, natural water. The other one was filled three-quarter way with whiskey. So they dropped worms in those two different glasses. And then within no time, the glass containing water and the worm stayed alive, did not die. The one with whiskey, the worm died. And so the father asks the child, "What did you learn from this experiment?" Gladly, the child responds, "Ah, daddy, I now know that if you drink whiskey, then you won't have worms in your stomach." So you try to teach one thing, and the kid will pick up another. So those are some of the joys we can recount from having children around us. What about the other side of the story? Sometimes our children can be a pain. You might want to say a curse, but we might want also to refrain from using that word, a curse. What are some of the pains some of our children bring? You know, those times when they grow into teenage age and they all get rooms, and when they get to their rooms, and especially in these modern times with Wi-Fi and all these, you know, social, apps and so on and so forth, When you want them to do something, they can easily lock themselves up in their room and you can't see them. You try to knock, hey, come out. They won't come out. But I tell you, if you want those guys to come out, go to the access point, go to where the Wi-Fi, the router is, turn off the Wi-Fi. Everyone will come out of their rooms. You'll see them. And for many parents, that can be very disappointing if the kids grow into teenage age and, you know, they begin to do stuff like that. Or the other part of it would be a parent struggles all year through to look for tuition to pay for this child. And the only reward the parent can get is poor results at the end of the school term. That can be very painful to parents. Or in another case, you do all you can for this one child, hoping they will help you out later on in your old age or in advanced age, and all you get is rejection. They turn their back on you. That can be very painful to a parent. When we hear the prophet Isaiah today, you know, saying the following words, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? When we hear him say that, we can only hear God lamenting how the people of Israel, as his children, have turned their backs on him, have rejected him. And the last time I checked, all of us, every one of us, every human being is a child of God. We are children of God. And many times, by the choices we make, we can easily please God, we can easily bring joy to God, or bring disappointment to him. We can bring pain to him. That kind of pain, that kind of disappointment that will make him lament in this way. What more could I have done for my children? What more? Well, this first reading recounts the history of salvation, how the people of Israel, how the humankind, having been created by God, and in first act disappointed, you know, our first parents disappointing their creator, how now and again we have fallen off from following God's commands, from loving him truly. Up to the times we did this, we rejected his most beloved son and put him to a painful death. In a similar way, the gospel reading too gives us that history, and the imagery used is that of a vineyard. And the responsorial psalm explains to us what the parable, the gospel is about, and the song of the vineyard, the first reading is all about. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. And who is the landowner? Yes, certainly we've identified God is the landowner. And who are the tenants? The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, all leaders in various capacities. So what happens? God simply asks, what more could I have done? When we reflect on the readings this weekend, God is reminding us, number one, that we belong to his fold, that we are his children, and he loves us no matter what. These different things we see the landowner doing, sending the first son, the second, the third, until he sent his only son, is a sign that God is slow to anger, is abounding in love, and filled with compassion. That is the sign. And many times it's very true that we disappoint God. God has given us lots of opportunities. If you think for a moment what we have today, what many of us have, and people in other parts of the world do not have. If you think for a moment how, what degree or level of education many of us have attained, and other parts of the world, people are dying of ignorance. If you think for a moment of all these wonderful things we have, the opportunities, the blessings. Think of even yesterday, the most recent event, how God has spared us of this storm. Sometimes it's very easy to forget about that. And it's painful to God. It's disappointing to God that we forget all these opportunities, these blessings, these wonderful moments He's given us, the joys of our lives are moments. And if we forget that, we can only make God to make this lament. What more can I do for my people to know that I love them? I send them my only son. They've rejected him. What more can I do? I wonder how God looks at the world today, the world that he created with his own hands. If he looks at what is happening in the world today, I wonder how disappointed he is. Well, the book of Genesis tells us that God created us, human beings, unique among all creatures. And that uniqueness can be told from the image and likeness of God in which he created us. That also sets us apart to participate in his creation. And clearly, that book of Genesis also tells us that God has put human beings in charge of other things. It's an invitation, a reminder to all of us that God expects us to help him out, to be part of the salvation plan, to help others turn back to him, to help others get to heaven, to use the gifts he's given us so that we get ourselves to heaven and those he's placed around us. If we don't do that, we simply disappoint him. And so as I end, knowing what we do, what we fail to do, let us ask ourselves the question, what more can I do to be a better child of God? What more can I do to bring joy into the family of God? What more can I do to bring joy into the heart of God? Or let's make it even more specific. What more can I do to bring joy in this family of Our Lady of Perpetual Help? How can I make people around me in this parish community happier? What more can I do? Can I sign up to be a lector and use my God-given voice to proclaim the Word of God? What more can I do? The fair is coming up. What else can I do? Big question. God expects us. And lastly, let us not be afraid. Let us remember that our God is loving, is kind, He's very patient. He's waiting for us to come to him. No matter how many times we turn our back on him, he is waiting. And we know today that in the world there are many sorrows, there are many disappointing things. You watch the news and all you see is sorrow and suffering, shootings and so on and so forth. Let's end with this advice of St. Paul. St. Paul says, brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. A summary of that statement from St. Paul is, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Worry about nothing, pray about everything.